ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 19, The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge, Text Number 4. Tapastitam japodhanam.
Tapastitam japodhanam.
Pavitranitarannicha. Nalam kuravanti tam siddhim. Yajnana kalaya kita. Tapasti tam japodhanam. Avichanita rannicha. Nalam kuravanti tam siddhim. Yajnana kalaya kita. Tapastitam japodhanam. Avichanitarannicha. Nalam kuravanti tam siddhim. Yajnana kalaya kita. Tapaha, austerity, tirtham,
visiting holy places,
japaha,
offering silent prayers,
dhanam,
charity,
pavitrani,
pious activities,
ittarani,
other.
Cha,
also,
na,
not,
alam,
up to the same standard,
kuravanti,
they award,
tam,
this,
siddhim,
perfection,
ya,
which,
jnana,
of spiritual knowledge,
kalayaha,
by a fraction,
Krita
is awarded.
Translation.
That perfection which is produced by a small fraction of spiritual knowledge cannot be duplicated by performing austerities, visiting holy places, chanting silent prayers, giving in charity, or engaging in other pious activities. Purport. Jnana here refers to a clear understanding of the Lord's supreme dominion over all that be, and this realized knowledge is non-different from the supreme personality of Godhead. That the Lord is supreme is confirmed in the previous verse by the words Padam Shrestam Vidur Mama. One may perform penances or visit holy places with a proud mentality or material motivation. Similarly, one may chant prayers to God, give charity, or perform other externally pious activities with many bizarre, hypocritical, or even demoniac motivations. Realized knowledge of the supremacy of Lord Krishna, however, is a solid connection with the spiritual world. And if one pursues this holy understanding, one is gradually promoted to the highest level of conscious existence called Vaikuntha, or the Kingdom of God. Tapastitam jipodannam pivitrani tadannicha yalam kurvanti tam siddhim yagyana kalaya krita.
That perfection which is produced by a small fraction of spiritual knowledge cannot be duplicated by performing austerities, visiting holy places, chanting silent prayers, giving in charity or engaging in other pious activities.
So here, Sri Krishna is making a clear distinction between one situated in perfection who has knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and of one's position as the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all others who don't have that knowledge, even though amongst the others who don't have that knowledge, some of them may appear to be very elevated, they may appear to be perfect because of the external activities that they're performing. So that's the main point here, that chanting japa. You can probably chant after. the main point here that the difference between one who has knowledge of Lord Sri Krishna and being his eternal servant and one who doesn't. Not always easy to distinguish. The devotees, and here, of course, it describes that that perfection which is produced by a small fraction of spiritual knowledge. So here, Krishna is saying that even, you know, those who had that understanding, even in the beginning stages, that means that even the devotees who are beginning the process of Krishna consciousness, who have knowledge of Lord Sri Krishna and that they are his eternal servant, are far more advanced than others who appear to be in many different ways more exalted, more purified, of higher knowledge, but Krishna is saying they're not. Now, in one sense, this may appear to be a sectarian sort of a statement, saying that the devotees of Krishna are better than others. Right? So it appears like that. But anyone, right? You can hear people, if they heard this verse, oh, you think you have all the answers and you are better than anyone else, like this. So it appears to be sectarian. People may say, well, you're non-different from any other religion. The Christians say they're better than anyone. The Muslims say they're better. You know, each different religion, of course there are many these days, there are some bona fide religions, and then there are some thousands and thousands of nonsense who claim to be religion. And then there are atheists, of course, and all of them are claiming that they're better than others. And they may just say that the Hare Krishnas are exactly the same. You're just thinking you're better than anyone else. So it appears like a sectarian statement. But that's like saying that the mentality of the devotees is somehow partial, or that God is partial to a certain group and not to others. So, for instance, in a court of law, a judge may award one man that for your crimes, your punishment, you will be sentenced to 10 years of jail in this very harsh prison. With no
you know, chance of parole, you know, within 8 years, like that. And then he may award someone else that you are granted payment of $500,000. So one may think, oh, the judge is being partial, that he is being sectarian. And this man, he gives 10 years jail, and this one he gives $500,000. Like this. So it appears to be sectarian, it appears that he is partial, but everyone knows there's no partiality, that the judge, according to one's activities, that one man is being punished for, you know, and judged according to his activities, and the other man is being judged according to his activities. And when one's activities are particularly bad, then there is a particular result, and benefits are not awarded. And when one's activities are, you know, very meritorious, then one is being judged in a different way and giving a greater credit and award. So this is exactly the same case. The Krishna consciousness movement is just saying in a partial way or in a sectarian way that the situation of the devotees of the Lord, even in the beginning stages, are far, far better than all others. It appears like that, but things have to be judged according to their actual merit. So one may say so many things. As I say, a goat will eat anything, and a madman will say anything. So everyone may claim that, yes, you know, our process, our religion, you know, we are superior, we are better than anyone else. Anyone can make claims like that, but we have to see how they can back it up. So it appears to be dogmatic. It appears like that. But factually, if you ask a devotee, especially take someone of the caliber of Srila Prabhupada status, you can ask him anything and he'll give you an answer. Alright? Now, any question, ask any question and he can give you the correct answer. There's not many people who can do that. Very, very rare. Even the general devotees, though, they can answer to some general degree most people's questions, and the questions that they perhaps can't answer themselves, they can point to another devotee within the Krishna consciousness movement who may be able to answer it for them. But the answers are there within the Krishna consciousness movement. But if you go elsewhere and you ask a question, you cannot get an answer. So sometimes, again, some people think that the devotees are being dogmatic. So on one hand, the devotees appear to be sectarian. On the other hand, they appear to be dogmatic because they have an answer for everything. The other week I was relating a class that Srila Prabhupada gave, and at the end one Indian gentleman challenged Srila Prabhupada about the position of Arjun, whether he was a man in knowledge or not. And we described there that Srila Prabhupada become quite bold in defending Arjun's transcendental station of knowledge, that he was not a fool, he was not a man of ignorance, that he even under the most severe testing circumstances, where his son Abhimanyu was killed, and he did momentarily show intense grief. Still, he never gave up his duty. He always was fixed in his service that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am his eternal servant. So he never left that despite the grief. But Srila Prabhupada was very, very bold and very strong to defend Arjuna. Now, in that same lecture, just after that, one, it sounded like an English gentleman, he then asked, you know, Srila Prabhupada, or sort of commented that, you appear to be very dogmatic. And Srila Prabhupada said, you know, what is that? What is that dogmatic? So actually, it was interesting because when Arjuna was challenged, Srila Prabhupada was really strong, loud, forceful. When this man challenged Prabhupada, he was just very quiet, very sedate. So for his own, when he was criticized personally, he was not in this mood that, you know, he would defend his own honor. You know, that wasn't really there. But certainly, he was interested that this person would go away with the right impression. But he was completely neutral to the fact that he was being criticized. And he was very gentle, and he was, that's his humility. He was saying, he said, what is this dogmatic? And the gentleman said, well, you seem to have an answer for everything. Srila Prabhupada said, thank you. So he took it as a compliment. So he turned a criticism into a compliment. So that person made some spiritual advancement, and that person was actually satisfied with that answer. But the fact is, it can appear like that, but it's not a fault. It's actually a credit. You know, if someone has come to the perfection of knowledge and can answer all things on all different platforms, one shouldn't see it as a fault, but as a credit. And therefore, that person who has come to the position of knowledge, you know, their situation, if they're able to answer, all the questions, the most important questions about life, we should look up to them. Therefore, you know, if someone cannot do that, you know, if someone can't sit there and answer all the questions that Srila Prabhupada can answer, or even the general devotees, they should admit, you know, with all humility, well, I don't know the answer to that. I couldn't answer that. What is the nature of the soul? What is the difference between, you know, is there a soul in the body of animals? Is it the same as that in humans? Do humans even have a soul? You know, is there God? What is the nature of God? What is the nature of the absolute truth and the relationship with the material world? What is the relationship with the living entity, with the Supreme Lord? How should we govern society? Is monarchy good? What is demoniac? What should we eat? What should we, so many questions. And if someone can't answer all those questions, they should admit, oh, I can't answer those. But this person can. Not that we say, I'm a fool, and this person can answer any question. We'll call them sectarian and dogmatic. Certainly we shouldn't be critical of any religion, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that we should not have a proper understanding of the comparative spiritual level of persons within different religions individually and sometimes as a group. In the same way that within an educational institution, we don't discriminate against those in primary school. You know, that those in secondary school, they're much better people. You know, don't have anything to do with those people in primary school. They're real low class. You know, we don't think like that. You know, it's they're the same. One's beginning, one's, you know, only time separates them from, you know, their level of knowledge. In the same way, religion is like that. It is, you know, an educational systems, purification system, which brings one to realization of the science of God, the science of self-realization. And people are on different levels. And there's no discrimination, but at the same time, we actually have to see what level different people are on. Srila Prabhupada, you know, in that light, we can understand some of Srila Prabhupada's statements. Srila Prabhupada was speaking about the Christian movement. He was saying that Lord Jesus Christ made everything very easy for them. He, Lord Jesus, will accept, you know, this is from the Christian's view of religion. Not necessarily that this is the way Jesus set things up, but this is how Christians sometimes view their religion. That Jesus will accept all our sinful reaction. So that certainly makes it easy. We don't have to suffer for our own sinful activities. Jesus will suffer. That makes life, you know, easy. And at the same time, if Lord Jesus asks us to do something, we can just neglect it. And, you know, if anyone complains, we can say, well, the Bible is very old, so it doesn't, you know. So in this way, everything is very easy. So he gave an example that to illustrate their situation. Is that one time there was this man who, the son, the father's son went to sit for an exam. And when the son came home, the father said to him, "So, how did you go on the exam?" "No problem." "Oh, well, that's good. So, you know, what is this? No problem." He said, "Well, the hard questions, which are too hard to answer, I just left those. And the easy ones, they're so easy I didn't answer them." So he compared this situation to some people who follow Christianity. Not all. We know there are many sincere people in all religious groups. But we also know these days there are many people who are literally doing nothing. No. Everything appears to be very easy, but they're literally doing nothing at all. And yet they, you know, appear to be very religious. Sometimes they are doing some things. But even those, you know, sometimes we get yogis, different yogis, and even amongst the various religions, people who do perform different austerities, go visit different holy places, and so many different things like this. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada points out that if you call them all together, you gather them all from all the different groups in the world, and you ask them, "Who is God?" Will anyone be able to say, "Oh, Krishna is the supreme person"? No. None. You call them and ask them, who is God? Oh. Can anyone say Krishna? We know Krishna is the supreme person. Will any of them say, "Oh, Krishna is God"? So, you know, it's not difficult Or, you know, you can ask them, are you surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Are you surrendered to Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Are you surrendered to Krishna? No. Then you're a rascal. Srila Prabhupada said, our test, Prabhupada says, it's actually not very difficult to find a rascal. You ask him one question, are you surrendered to Krishna? No, are you a rascal? To one degree or another. But, you know, if you just ask them, again, quite often, most devotees will get themselves into some, you know, big philosophical discussion with different people who want to challenge their knowledge and show that they have so much knowledge. And, you know, they will blurt out some, you know, philosophical mumbo jumbo. And you can stop them dead in their tracks by one question. You know, what is the difference between matter and spirit? You know, they can't answer. The simple question. They can't. So then, when they understand that they can't distinguish between matter and spirit, they realize that all the philosophy that they're about to speak is quite useless because they don't understand that. So much nonsense, just like, you know, but it appears to be knowledge. You know, you ask the yogis, all impersonalists, you know, what is the way to perfection? They don't know what perfection. What is the way to perfection? Let's see if they know that much. All paths lead to the same goal. Oh, well, if all paths lead to the same goal, why not chant Hare Krishna? Oh, no. All paths lead to the same goal, but I won't be chanting Hare Krishna. But as Krishna points out in the Bhagavad Gita, that by bhakti yoga, one can know Krishna without doubt. In the 7th chapter, in the first verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you follow this process, take shelter of me, take shelter of my devotee, and I will spell out the process of always thinking of me in devotional service, and you can know me without doubt. Like this. So that is the direct and easy path to, you know, Krishna consciousness, to perfection. The other paths, they're the long way around, and they don't necessarily guarantee success. But some of them, you know, you can achieve, you can progress towards Krishna consciousness, towards the threshold of Krishna consciousness, through Kama Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Astanga Yoga, you can, and then by the association of devotees, you can actually enter into Bhakti Yoga. But it is the long, difficult way around, and especially in Kali Yuga, it is very, very difficult, practically impossible to take these indirect methods. And better to take the direct method. And that's what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Just like if someone says, where is your nose? And you say, my nose is there. Oh, I don't. That's really, really difficult. You know, why not just go, well, there's my nose? Why take the long way around? You know, do we do that with our children? They ask us something and we show them the really difficult way to do it. They just, you know, the direct and easy way. Where you show the children, where's your nose? You point like this. You don't, you know, make something really difficult. So yes, all paths lead eventually, you know, some via the hellish planets, via 8,400,000 species of life, and yes, eventually you come up back again. because there is only one goal, that's Krishna. But better to take the quick and direct process, and that is bhakti yoga. So, this verse is pointing out very clearly that the devotees of the Lord who have knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that we are His eternal servants, and serve Him with love through bhakti yoga. You know, that, even in the beginning stages of that understanding, they are, you know, very, very well situated. And others who appear to be doing so many things, even, you know, within the realm of austerity, piety, religion and what have you, but they don't have that knowledge, they cannot be compared to be on the same level. That is the point here Krishna is making. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments.
How are we going to understand the fact that in devotional service we do visit holy places, we chant japa, we give charity, and you know, we encourage, especially chant japa, for example, you know, that Hare Krishna is considered the life of transcendental knowledge. Yet here it says transcendental knowledge is far superior than, say, for example, chanting japa, the benefits of chanting japa. So how do we contextualize those statements?
Good question.
We encourage japa. Obviously, we no chanting rounds, and you've got to end up with fantastic. So is there a difference in this kind of japa, or
the Lord Chaitanya of course recommends that we should chant japa, chant the holy names of the Lord in a humble state of mind. Now of course that humility, the essence of that humility is that I am the servant of God. He's the master, I'm the servant. So when we chant japa in that mood, it produces transcendental knowledge, and the transcendental effects far greater than those who may chant with the mentality that it is increasing their dominion over the world, and that they are the enjoyer and the master, and that God is their servant. So there's they may be chanting prayers and japa in that mood, whereas chanting japa in the mood that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna produces a certainly different effect.
That's corroborated in by that statement in the purport, where it says you can do all of these things with all sorts of motives.
Yes, I'll just read that. It says that one may perform penances or visit holy places with a proud mentality or material motivation. So proud or material motivation. Similarly, one may chant prayers to God, give charity, or perform other externally pious activities with many bizarre, hypocritical, or even demoniac motivations. So, one who is performing any of those activities in the mood that they're the eternal servant of Krishna, that he is the master, their situation is far greater than those who don't have that transcendental knowledge, and they're getting the real effects. One time someone asked Srila Prabhupada that you state in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam that by reading the first 9 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, carefully studying them, one is sure to be God realized. Can you explain that? And Srila Prabhupada said, what do you mean by that? And they were giving, different answers about, God is this and God is that. He said, no, it means that you understand this, you're the servant of God. 9 cantos, that's,
I'm the servant of God. That's what you understand. So you see how he summed up all transcendental knowledge in that essential statement. And without that understanding that we are the servant of God and God is Krishna, our knowledge and activities are certainly incomplete. There's a very essential understanding, essential point of knowledge. If you try and give someone some knowledge and they refuse to accept it, you're better off to just approach those who are eager for the knowledge, and spend the best part of your time with the most suitable candidates. If there are people begging for that knowledge with, sincerity, and they're missing out because we're wasting our time with insincere people who will never ever listen to it, then everyone loses out. So, we offer transcendental knowledge, and if people don't take it, we move on to those who are more inclined to take it. That's all. No use beating your head against a rock. But if sometimes, especially with relatives and like that, you just keep a civil relationship, and civil, friendly. You just keep a civil, friendly relationship, and the fact that they, like you, is enough to award them liberation. Liberation in the sense that they may, in another life, get a chance to become a devotee. Just the fact that they like you. So they may never understand any of the philosophy, but they like you, that's enough. Any other comments or questions? Oh, all goes to the Prabhupada.